Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be addressing the question, can Christians, adult and children, play video games and still live in a manner that is consistent with the gospel?
The short answer to this question is, of course, and it depends. I think most people will not be satisfied with that answer, and it'd be hard to sustain a podcast with 30-second answers to questions like this. So,
kind of sarcastic.
Right. Yeah, it would. Yeah, we just recorded the sarcasm. So we'll flesh it out and try to be a little bit more helpful. So first, let's talk about what it means to live in a manner that's consistent with the gospel.
Absolutely.
That may be helpful. A good place to start.
So to live in a manner consistent with the gospel is to live a transformed life.
Right. So we find the idea of living a life consistent with the gospel in a number of places in the New Testament. Ephesians 4:1 reads, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Paul calls believers in Colossians 1:10 to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In Philippians 1:27, he says, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Apparently, there's a way of life that coincides with believing the gospel. There's also a way of living that denies the gospel. That's one reason that Paul wrote his letter to Titus. Titus 1:16 says, he's talking about these people who were in the church. He says, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works." The gospel is all about what God has done through Christ to take sinners who hated him and one another and transform them into saints who love him and one another. So the gospel is not just about justification. It's about transforming people. God takes dead people, brings them to life, and causes them to live differently than they did before. Christ died for us, removing the penalty of sin and also breaking the power of sin. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit to reside inside of us. He gave us new hearts. All of this means we should live differently as a result of the work of Christ being brought to bear in our lives. When we live lives characterized by disobedience, then, living like we hate God and one another, we contradict with our actions the gospel that we say we believe. So to live in a manner consistent with the gospel is to live a transformed life. Now, we know that's a progressive thing. It doesn't happen all in one moment, right when we believe. We aren't perfect at the moment that we're justified. Sanctification takes place progressively over the course of our Christian lives. But there should be transformation taking place all the time. If there's no transformation, we contradict the gospel with our lives. So, having talked about that, then can you play video games and live a transformed life? I think that's a perhaps a more clear way of asking the question. Can you play video games and live a transformed life?
Right. Let's start by saying there's nothing inherently sinful about playing video games.
Right. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. I can't think of any scripture that's being violated by playing video games, just like I can't think of any scripture being violated by playing card games or board games.
Right.
But that little question, is it sinful, is not the best question to ask if we want to live in a manner consistent with the gospel. There's probably better things to consider.
Right. The best question to ask about any activity is not, is it permissible, but is it helpful?
Right. This goes for anything, not just for video games. So this is broadly applicable. A lot of Christians ask only one question when deciding what kinds of entertainment to enjoy or what kinds of hobbies to do or actions to take. And that question is it sinful? Can I find a verse in the Bible that forbids what I'm about to do? And if it's not inherently sinful, if they can't find a prohibition in Scripture, they jump in almost as if the Scripture gives a positive command to do it.
Right.
And I've had periods of my life when I thought that way, and that was the criteria for deciding how I would spend my time or resources, energy, et cetera. I would just ask myself, well, is this thing sinful? And if it's not, then I would engage in that kind of thing. Those periods of my life have been, without fail, times of spiritual dryness, spiritual slumber, because I was lowering the bar to a point that was just unwise. Mm. A better question is it helpful or profitable to me spiritually? And this comes from 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes in two different places, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. In other words, he doesn't mean that across the board. When he says all things are lawful, he doesn't mean absolutely everything is okay. There's nothing that's sinful. His point is that there are things that are morally permissible, but that are not helpful if we want to walk in holiness ourselves and help other people to do the same thing. And we find those two places in 1 Corinthians 6:12 and 10:23. There are activities that help me spiritually and others that hinder me spiritually, even though they may not be inherently sinful. And what hinders me may not hinder you, Kyle. I mean, right. we're different personalities. We've got different stuff going on. What hinders you may not hinder me. So the standards for what's helpful or harmful aren't going to be the same for everyone, I believe. I mean, there's things that you could enjoy that would probably be a very bad idea for me, and vice versa. I personally have found that I have to be very careful about the choices that I make regarding how I spend my time and how I entertain myself. Other people may not be as sensitive or as easily distracted as I am, but that's just a major weakness of mine. I'm easily distracted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Hmm. I have to be really careful about the things that I read because I have an inquiring mind. I love to learn. I'm intensely interested about stuff, and I'm very easily interested in new things.
Sure.
And so I can go off into these new avenues of investigation very easily and just kind of pour myself into it for a time and waste a lot of time and be distracted from the Lord. For instance, I like true crime books. Basically, I like reading about the kinds of things that Pastor Rick does all day.
Okay. Right.
But I have to be really careful because one book can lead to two, or a particular case, once I've read a book about it, that can prompt a bunch of additional research about that one case. There's this one case, and I'm embarrassed to share this, but I want to do it just to make the point. There is one case. There is a murder back in 1969. Over the course of my life, and this is going back to when I was about 10 years old. I learned about this case when I was about 10 years old. Over the course of my life, I've spent, probably conservatively speaking, over 100 hours reading about this one murder. Now, is that sinful to read about this? I don't believe it's inherently sinful, but it's a huge distraction from things that really matter. Hmm. And distractions take a toll on me spiritually, because they pull me away from devotion to the Lord. When I find that I'm intensely interested in something that is not particularly helpful, I become less interested in the things of the Lord. And I personally simply cannot afford to engage in things that don't help me spiritually. I can't afford to live my life by the "is it sinful" standard.
Right.
Now, we've all got different weaknesses, but for anyone, I would say, is it profitable is a better question than is it sinful. Now, let me ask you, Kyle, how are we doing on time?
We're doing pretty good.
Okay, all right.
So
I didn't know if maybe we needed to cut this into two.
No.
Okay.
So how is it that it's not legalistic to have a standard for yourself above what Scripture requires?
Okay, yeah. Well, a lot of people are very sensitive to legalism. And I get that. But first of all, this principle of doing the profitable thing instead of merely the permissible thing is given to us by the Scriptures. So there's nothing legalistic about that idea. We're not adding anything to Scripture. I mean, I'm actually taking this from Paul. Paul says all things are lawful. Not all things are profitable. That's where I'm getting this idea from. So this is not something that I've made up. Second, my standards about what I will or will not watch or do or play or read or listen to are not laws for me, and they're not ways that I earn God's favor. They're simply how I apply wisdom to my life. I don't think those things are inherently sinful, but they are not helpful, and I know my own heart, and I can't afford to go down that road, so I choose not to. Third, my standards are not things that I make a law for somebody else. So there are things that I won't do that I'll never confront you for doing because they aren't sinful, and it's just right. A wisdom call based upon my own weaknesses. So I limit myself to on the kinds of entertainment that I'll engage in, but I would never confront somebody else for engaging in those things that aren't inherently sinful, but that I know are a problem for me. There's nothing legalistic about this in my mind.
Let's go ahead and actually split this into next time. Okay. We're going to pick up with how might we apply these principles we just discussed to video games.
Okay, all right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.